A big week for NASDAQ. Excellent results led the way in the parish this week, as well as a huge shake-up amongst the vice chairman. This is the Exchange Invest Weekly with Patrick L. Young. Until Friday to get our lead story this week, but what a humdinger it was. The Financial Times was left, right and centre, or at least bank right and centre, in eschewing, or at least espousing, what is, well, an interesting mantra. Essentially, a series of global banks and global funds have decided they want to see more capital and derivatives clearinghouses. Now, readers, as you will know if you've been an Exchange Invest reader for many's a year, we have been talking about the Homer Simpson buffet equation for many's a year. And indeed, there is undoubtedly an issue that if you keep filling up the buffet from one end to the other, there will be a problem with concentration risk within central counterparty clearinghouses. At the same time, of course, the people who caused this whole problem in the first place were those people who actually couldn't manage to do anything coherently on the OTC markets, which they indeed fought against being regulated for many's a year, because that allowed the casino capitalism of the OTC trading era. Therefore, we have the incredible rampant hypocrisy, indeed, as one might call it, standard operating procedure for bankers. They want somebody else to pay for their mess. No danger that they're going to be throwing in lots more money, of course, up front. Oh, no. That's what the clearinghouses have to do because, well, of course, they're banks, they're funds, and therefore everybody else is expected to pay for their lunch. There's no doubt whatsoever we need to look very, very strongly and very closely at the relationship in terms of how well capitalised our clearinghouses are. At the same time, the people who need to pay for it are the people who are paying the margins. Therefore, whether your alliance, BlackRock, Citi, Goldman Sachs, Société Générale, SJP Morgan, State Street, T. Rowe Price or Vanguard, we want to see you contributing to the better default buffers and not relying on other third parties to manage to allow for the fact that, well, essentially, what we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is the road manufacturers, the people who operate the highways, they're being told they have to raise the level of the tolls because the people who are speeding at 180 miles an hour through the autobahn are actually the people who are allowed on a completely risk-free run. How absurd. Overall, this is undoubtedly going to run and run, but I refer you back to the Homer Simpson buffet theory I was explaining a decade ago, as it comes home to roost. The fact that the participants see it as somebody else's problem to fix, as opposed to using their own money or paying higher margins, is, well, illuminating. Unsurprising, but, you know, standard operating procedures for banks and other people who think that the world owes them a living. That's another one of those ultimate problems that comes from bailing out entirely feckless, disorganised organisations that should have been allowed to go bust 11 years ago. Anyway, that may strike a lot of people as a cheap backdoor way for certain financial market participants to regain control of market structure through a long drawn out repo process where the market participants themselves caused the original problem. There's only one daily news source for the business of bourses, Exchange Invest, the exchange of information. Exchange Invest publishes the daily digest of everything in the market structure industry around the world in a user-friendly email briefing format from Monday to Friday. With additional pith by former Exchange CEO and long-standing fintech pioneer Patrick L. Young, yes, that's me, Exchange Invest is the unique one-stop shop for the daily news in markets, market operators, and related functions. Exchange Invest is available to subscribers at $200 per user per year or currency equivalent. You can get more details at exchangeinvest.com or email me, patrick@derivativesvision.com. In results this week, NASDAQ led the way. Very, very encouraging numbers all round from them. Equally good numbers from Market Access and indeed Singapore Exchange, who reached a 12-year high on a cross-asset push. $114 million was the Singaporean dollar total for the SGX. Meanwhile, there was a huge increase in Pakistan's PSX. They increased their profit by 16% during the course of the last quarter year on year. Similarly, good encouraging year-on-year quarterly numbers from the New Zealand Exchange. Meanwhile, TradeWeb, they priced 17.29 Class A shares, an upsized follow-on offering that was priced at $42 per share and represents the classic other trade in the markets where at one time we see Many parties in the buy and sell side trying to regain control of the market structure through a backdoor repo method on the central counterparty clearinghouses. Of course, similarly, the banks cannot possibly manage to get out of market structure providers such as Tradeweb fast enough when they see a huge profit. Speaking of ownership, the state is going to hold, well, 100% of the post-merger stock exchange when Hanoi and the other Vietnam exchange gets together from Ho Chi Minh to create the Vietnam Exchange Group. And indeed, in the same breath, the Vietnamese stock exchanges were recording somewhat of an IPO slowdown in Vietnam in recent times. Interesting discussions over at LME. Apparently, XTX, the prop trading firm founded in 2015 by Russian-born mathematician Alex Gurko, they're looking at taking a stake in EOS Precious Metals, the company that partnered with the LME to create an exchange for trading silver and gold futures in 2017. Other interesting deal flow this week, IHS Market and Hanzon Technologies, they're creating a joint venture to bring electronic book building to the Chinese bond market. Absolutely great news. Just think of where we could have been with Hong Kong exchanges and LSE already progressing something like that, had but the LSE been open to doing a deal which was much more constructive than their Refinitiv deal. DLT Malta is the book of the blockchain island, consisting of thoughts from leading local advocates and practitioners of the crypto economy, led by the Prime Minister, the Honourable Joseph Muscat MP. DLT Malta is edited by myself, Patrick L. Young, and Joseph Anthony de Bono. The book can be obtained from all leading bookstores worldwide. If you want to understand Bitcoin, blockchain, cryptocurrency, and the broader impact of the distributed ledger, this book is packed with insights and information about the potential for the technology. DLT Malta, Thoughts from the Blockchain Island, is published by DV Books on behalf of the industry association Blockchain Malta, in bookstores now. Vanity Fair, the glamorous magazine of, well, American glamour and American money, old and new, they hit the headlines this week with, frankly, a piece of drivel. The fantastically profitable mystery of the Trump chaos trades left us more with a great mystery about just how much money you can get paid for writing for Vanity Fair, and just how little intellectual curiosity or indeed ability to understand anything beyond Trump derangement syndrome there can be. In Pressy, effectively, some people traded some stuff, Trump announced some stuff, other people made some money on some stuff that they traded in relation to the times when Trump said some things, and therefore, obviously, ladies and gentlemen, there is a colossal conspiracy theory. I must admit, I can appreciate CME's frustration at this sort of third-grade hatchet job. It is a hatchet job with admirable disregard for those tedious, well, fact thingies. Old canards are rehashed. For example, we talk about the Al-Qaeda cashed in before initiating the September 11 attacks, story being just one of them, for which there is absolutely no proof. And indeed, the nature of the markets being such that actually Al-Qaeda wouldn't have been able to get their money out. These are the sorts of simple fact checks that actually, if we had journalists who understood or appreciated, or could talk to people who understood and appreciated financial markets, would not get repeated. Trump derangement syndrome is the only winner from this article. It's bigger than ever and unfortunately seems to have consumed Vanity Fair. Curiously, Vanity Fair made no attempt to examine the documented records of the world's greatest ever futures trader. That is, of course, one Hillary Rodham Clinton, who, even according to, well, look it up, the rather left-wing Wikipedia, made some astounding returns but opted for a career in politics instead. Oh, what can I say? Ultimately, Vox gave us an excellent piece, saying just because there's smoke doesn't mean there's fire, discussing the blow-up over Vanity Fair's Trump trading story explained. Hashtag fake news is the only way to describe this, ladies and gentlemen, but at least it was good to see the liberal investigative Vox coherently impart how Trump derangement syndrome is reducing too much of US opposition politics to crying fire at even the faintest wisp of the vape of Juul. In data this week, one great story, Traders Magazine. Should there even be a market data debate? Worth reading. Elsewhere, unfortunately, a spot of protectionism. Italy is set to give an initial okay to powers to protect the stock exchange from being taken over. Seems like a knee-jerk reaction at the behest of London Stock Exchange in order to protect the Borsa Milano. What a shame. It's really sad to see the Italian state crumbling into an edifice of desperation. It sits on the abyss, of course, at this point in time. The banking system is essentially, well, bankrupt. The state is essentially over-indebted, to put it mildly. Protecting Borsa Milano only demonstrates the abject failure of the Italian state for the past number of decades, which has assiduously sought to intrude into every aspect of commercial life, and in the process left the nation teetering on the edge of bankruptcy. Free markets are good things. Why are EU nations so afraid of them? Meanwhile in the EU, traders at Imoti's UniCredit unit recount the Cum-Ex free-for-all went one Bloomberg headline this week, while meanwhile, Bloomberg also said that Societe Generale may actually win their Halaba Cum-Ex appeal, according to the judge. Interesting to see what goes on in those, but meanwhile, a series of people are in the dock, unlike, of course, in LIBOR, where we've actually reached the logical, coherent end of the investigations, according to the UK authorities. In big world, well, Brexit, Brexit, Brexit. It's been powder keg brinkmanship stuff for much of the week. The UK Parliament is, well, to put it mildly, dramatically out of alignment with the people. It actually seeks to humiliate at least 17.4 million voters. This is, well, if I may put it mildly, hubristic. Risk of civil unrest is something that really starts to concern, and actually to that end there was a magnificent article by Jenny McCartney in Unheard who was discussing precisely the problems, because as an Ulsterman I am most concerned at the current state of political chicanery laced by a class deeming themselves superior to the electorate. The numbers moreover are chilling, in addition to the very elegant Unheard article by Ms. McCartney that I mentioned a moment ago. Remember, on a population of 1.6 million, Northern Ireland was subjected to 20 years of troubles. It only took less than 400 active service terrorists to achieve a vast amount of damage, hardship and chaos over decades. Now, take a look at the UK and look at any of the Brexit heartlands. There are easily 4 million people around the area of the northeastern England Europarliamentary constituency alone. In no way, shape or form can anyone ever sensibly incite violence, ladies and gentlemen. I'm merely making an observation. Unless and until Britain makes a proper Brexit, the risk of civil disturbance is enormous and growing by the day, as the people resent the arrogance of the few who were roundly defeated in open debate and referendum by the largest vote in British history. Moreover, I fear civil disturbance may break out not just in the UK, but indeed it may reach the continent of Europe. Violence never solves anything in civil discourse. But when people have been ridiculed and excluded from the process of the state, some people will become desperate. All parties would be minded to get Brexit done by October the 31st. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast. In People News this week, very interesting to see that TP ICAP had a little bit of a director shuffle. That's because David Shalders, one of their non-execs, is now going to become the very executive chief integration officer of the London Stock Exchange Group. What an exciting title, ladies and gentlemen. What an interesting prospect. Meanwhile, in Turkey, interesting appointment. Murat Çetinkaya became deputy governor of the Central Bank of Turkey last month. The new CEO is a Turkish banker, one Mehmet Hakan Atilla. Only slight problem to his CV is the fact that, well, he's been convicted in the United States of America for helping Iran evade economic sanctions. Cue apoplexy from the EBRD, who are a significant shareholder within the Turkish bourse, opposing his appointment. Somewhat less controversial this week, we have two noticeable vice chairman retirements at Nasdaq. Bruce Ost, he's stepping down after, good grief, what, 20-something years at Nasdaq in total, and Sandy Frusher, someone who is a man of many, many pithy remarks. Well, Rome wasn't burnt in a day, I suppose, and he will indeed stay on as a strategic advisor. Elsewhere, the Dalian Commodity Exchange CEO has taken on a role at the Shanghai Bourse. That's Weng Fanghai, who'd become DCE CEO in June 2016, replacing Shi Jiong at the Shanghai Futures Exchange. Over at the China Financial Futures Exchange, they also appointed a new head, Hu Ruirong, is going to become the CEO, filling the vacancy left by the move of Rong Jiping, who's become an advisor to the Shanghai Futures Exchange. In tech news, perhaps the most interesting move in terms of personalities all week, Antoine Shaguri. He's departed State Street after 4 years. Why does he matter to us in the parish of market infrastructure? Well, of course, Antoine Shaguri was perhaps best known as the Chief Technology Officer of the London Stock Exchange Group. Why did he depart? No one quite knows. I doubt State Street were suddenly seeking to upgrade the LCH technology stack on behalf of LSEG, so I cannot comment on the reasons behind his departure. Over in Nairobi, 7 sacked employees have sued the bourse for wrongful termination. At Thomson Reuters, we have news that Jim Smith is going to be standing down. Of course, Jim Smith had a slight health scare about a year or so ago, but he seems to be fine nowadays. In technology news, apart from that news of Antoine Shaguri's moving from State Street to a venue unknown so far, Itala AG, they've created a ventures arm for market infrastructure products. They're looking at investing in, well, similar to what they do, high-performance best execution services and related issues in a special-purpose vehicle. Over at the CFTC, Chairman Tarbert announced that Lab CFTC is going to be elevated to have its own independent operating office status, reporting directly to the chairman of the CFTC himself, Heath Tarbert. Commerzbank and Deutsche Börse completed a blockchain post-trade settlement test, coming soon to you, the possibility to collateralize your tokens somehow or other within the DB1 empire. In product news, Nasdaq extended their options offerings this week with Nasdaq Smart Options. It's a product targeting traders, retail brokers, and asset managers, providing a real-time data feed sourced from the Options Price Reporting Authority feed. PNGX, the Papua New Guinea exchange, announced new market indexes. Bakkt, in an interesting move in the crypto world, they're going to launch options on their Bitcoin futures come December the 9th. Exciting times, ladies and gentlemen, for the crypto economy. The OMFIF was very excited in their research to note that African nations are building deeper and more transparent financial markets, while SGX have licensed their global internet index to Nikko Asset Management. Deutsche Börse, they're offering free execution for their ETF savings plans. And then back to Bitcoin. A Bitcoin ETF product is being developed by a former World Gold Council executive, the man who's the portfolio manager behind the Spider Gold shares, Jason Toussaint, developing a Bitcoin ETF with the boutique asset manager Cryptoin Investment Advisors. Aramco, no news yet, but apparently the reason for their delay was, according to certain sources, they're looking to try and rope in anchor investors ahead of the IPO, while the MCX, finally in product news this week, become the first bourse to offer a 1 gram gold future with a delivery option in India. And that, ladies and gentlemen, wraps up another exciting week in the world of market infrastructure with me, Patrick L. Young. We will be back Monday to Friday with Exchange Invest Daily, your subscriber newsletter about all in the bourse business. In the meantime, have a great week in markets. This is Patrick Young, joining you today from the EY Attractiveness Summit in Malta. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the background hubbub. This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.